We return to Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9. And our theme could be summed up in the words found in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 4 and 5. Called of God as was Aaron. Called of God as was Aaron. In Hebrews 5 verse 4 we read, and no man taketh this honour unto himself, but he that is called of God as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Our Lord Jesus Christ was appointed of the Father, and Aaron as prefiguring the Lord Jesus Christ was appointed by God, as the passage shows us. Firstly, Aaron declares, I am not the Christ. Aaron declares, I am not the Christ. Verse 1, and it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. The elders act as witness as Aaron and his sons offer their first sacrifice, and Aaron offers for himself. They could bear witness to this fact. Christ had witnesses of his first and last and only offering of himself, to be witnesses of those things which had come to pass, and to give us in due time a more sure word of prophecy, the scriptures, written testimony of the things most surely believed among us. And so Aaron and his sons offer a sin offering and a burnt offering and a peace offering and a meat offering. We've looked at these individual offerings already, but the sin offering, stressing the idea of atonement, and the burnt offering, indicating atonement but also wholehearted devotion, and the peace offering, atonement, yes, but also the fellowship that results from atonement, and then the meat offering or food offering, an offering of thanksgiving and praise offered along with the other offerings. But they had to offer first for their own sins and then for the people's. And in that way, Aaron, by this first offering for himself, was declaring plainly, I am not the Christ, that the one who could actually take away sin and make sinners accepted with God was the one who was yet to come, of whom John the Baptist said his shoe latchet he was not worthy to unloose. And Aaron is bearing the same testimony by virtue of this offering for his own sins. He is declaring that he himself is a sinner, and that therefore, although appointed to be the high priest in the ceremonial worship, yet there was one to come who was far beyond him and who was without sin. Secondly, Christ our authorized high priest. Christ our authorized high priest. Taking in verse 3, down to verse 14. I'll not go into the detail of the various types of offerings because we have done that already. The verse 3, we're told that unto the children of Israel, thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish, for a burnt offering. Also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil, for today the Lord will appear unto you. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, This is the thing which the Lord commanded that you should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And Moses said unto Aaron, Go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for the people, and offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded. So here, the verse 3 and 4 continue the preparation as to what was to be brought, and then the Lord, through Moses, commands Aaron, first of all, to offer the offering for himself, and then what was brought for the people. And it's specifically Aaron, you see, it says in verse 7, and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for the people. So specifying the use of thy in the Old English indicates that it is singular. And the people also bring their offerings, all the different kinds of offerings, both for Aaron and for the people. The exception being the trespass offering. You may remember that the trespass offering was for trespasses in the handling of holy things. Clearly, as they were only beginning, that could not actually apply. And so, with that exception, they had to bring all the various offerings before the Lord. And they may come to Aaron and his sons. Once Aaron and his sons are fully set apart by God to this office, and once they have been brought before the Lord and instituted as his priests, and Aaron has offered for himself, then they can come near with their offerings, and Aaron will offer for them before the Lord. And they are given the promise that the Lord will appear to them. So in verse 4, at the end of verse 4, For today the Lord will appear unto you. And in verse 6, And the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. This is a promise of acceptance, that the Lord would appear and manifest his acceptance of Aaron and of the offerings offered for himself and for the people. And the Lord, though he does not visibly appear when we draw near through Christ, yet he does show us to be in his word a reconciled God when we draw near to him through his authorized high priest, even our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, that they are to understand that Aaron is but an imperfect type, he offers for himself first of all. And the blood is put on the corners of the altar, verse 9, indicating forgiveness for all who draw near through the blood of atonement. The bowl of the altar, the bowl, the blood collected in it, was testimony to the cost of redemption, the shedding of blood without which there is no remission. This idea is taken up in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9, the idea of the what was collected at the below at the base of the altar. Revelation 6 verse 9, And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, and so on. There is the martyrs, not because they could atone for sin, but the thought is that through the blood of the Redeemer, which is accepted with God, then those who are Christ's, their devotion, their service, and in this case, their faithfulness unto death, is acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. It's through the blood that was shed, the blood typically set forth as gathering at the bottom of the altar. It is through the Redeemer's blood and his righteousness that the people of God are accepted, and all that they do is acceptable by him. All that they do in devotion to Christ, as they present their bodies a living sacrifice, and as they are poured out as a drink offering before the Lord in devotion to him, it is acceptable by Christ Jesus. The apostle was devoted to the cause of Christ and of his truth in the world, and he says to the Philippians that though he would rather be with Christ, which is far better, he would stay for the service and sacrifice of their faith. He would give himself to the interests of the Church of God in this world. And the acceptance is through Christ himself, the persons and the works of God's people in devotion to Christ by his grace are acceptable only by Christ Jesus. Then thirdly, Jesus saving his people from their sins. Jesus saving his people from their sins. Verse 15 down to verse 21. The rest gives the details of the sacrifices, the offerings, which we have covered elsewhere. They followed the pattern given in the early chapters of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering and the meat offering. But here in verse 15 to verse 21, Jesus saving his people from their sins. We see that the people are warranted in drawing near with boldness. Verse 15. And he brought the people's offering, and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it, and offered it for sin as the first. Their offerings are now received, because Aaron has offered for himself, and he can now offer for the people. And in this way, Aaron has become a fully qualified high priest. He has offered for himself. He is called of God. He has offered for himself. Now he can take their offerings and offer for the people. But the qualifications of our Lord Jesus are different, and gloriously so, in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. The Lord Jesus is here said to be made perfect as the captain of salvation. We've said many times that Christ being made perfect is not in the sense of his being sinful and being sanctified and cleansed from sin. He had no sin. He was always perfect, morally, pure, absolutely without sin. But the idea here is of being made complete or fully qualified as the high priest of his people. So it's the idea of Christ being fully qualified, being equipped And it was by his own suffering. It became him. It became him, that is, God the Father, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. It was in accordance with the character of God, who made all, who governs all, in redeeming his people to fully qualify the captain of their salvation through suffering. Our Lord Jesus then became a fully qualified high priest in things pertaining to God, not by offering for his own sins, for he had no sins to be offered, for offering to be made for. But our Lord Jesus became a fully equipped and qualified high priest for his people by his own sufferings on behalf of his people. That is his qualification, that he offered himself. That he offered nothing for his own sins, because he had none, and that in offering for his people, he offered himself. So there are these 2 points of contrast with Aaron. Aaron had to offer for himself, and Aaron offered something other than himself. And indeed, the people brought the offerings to him. Whereas our Lord Jesus Christ had no sin, had no offering to make for himself, but he offered for the people alone. And they didn't bring the offering. He provided the offering, and it was himself. So in all these points, he is a contrast with Aaron. And as we've said last time, that is one of the marvels, the beauty of the ceremonial pattern, that both the parallels and the contrasts all point to Christ. The things that are like Christ and the things that are the opposite of what is true of Christ. And as we've been studying the book of Hebrews, we've seen both of those things, the parallels and the contrasts, the opposites, and all points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here the people draw near with their offerings, which Aaron takes and offers as God's authorized priest in the ceremonial sense. But the Lord Jesus was authorized without his offering for himself, for he had no sin, and he was the appointed offerer and offering on behalf of the people alone. And the truth that Christ was made sin for us is especially brought out in verse 15. And he brought the people's offering, and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it, and offered it for sin, as at the first. Now, it's that phrase, and offered it for sin. And it's particularly used here of the sin offering, that particular offering which most exclusively sets forth the atoning death of the Lord Jesus. Literally, it is, and he sinned it, if we can put it that way. He sinned it. And it's the nearest you have to the New Testament expression in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The idea of substitution is fundamental. And here in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it isn't even he made him a sinner. He made him to be sin. He sinned him. He put sin upon him as the representative bearing the sins of his people. And it doesn't even say that he didn't sin. It says he knew no sin. He was nowhere near sin. And it doesn't just say that we might be made righteous or made righteousness, but the righteousness of God. That is, that we should have God's provided righteousness, God's approved righteousness, as ours, reckoned to our account. Not just any righteousness which might do or might not do, expressing the fact that the righteousness which is imputed to the people of God is divinely provided and approved. It's given for that very purpose, to make sinners accepted in the sight of God. And here in Leviticus 9, this phrase that he offered it for sin, that he sinned it, that he put sin on it, is telling us the very same thing. It's telling us that the idea of substitution, of sin bearing, of wrath bearing, is fundamental to the gospel of God. And then we are reminded in verse 20 and 21 of what is written of the Lord Jesus: to do thy will I take delight. Verse 20: and they put the fat upon the breasts, and he burnt the fat upon the altar, and the breasts and the right shoulder, Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. Whether, as some suggest, the idea of the fat being put upon the breasts is meant to indicate the inner disposition, the inner holiness of Christ in his thoughts, his motives, and so on, it's difficult to say, and we don't want to conjecture too much. But what is clear is that everything in this sacrifice was accepted of God. The priests ate some things because they represented God. They stood and acted for God, and the fat was burned in the fire. And whilst the burning aspect indicates the satisfaction of divine justice, and the other part, the right shoulder and so forth, were waved before the Lord, seeking acceptance of him, yet it must tell us, whatever else, that everything about Christ was acceptable to God. Everything about Christ was acceptable to God. The fat was burnt, signifying God's consuming wrath being satisfied. The shoulder and so forth were waved before the Lord, indicating divine acceptance. But whatever the mode of indicating God's acceptance, everything was accepted, so that everything about Christ set forth in these sacrifices, and they all testify of him, everything about Christ was accepted by God. His active obedience in keeping God's law, his passive obedience in bearing the wrath of God upon the transgression of that law, all was accepted by God. And the different modes of showing that acceptance at least tell us this, that Christ was acceptable to the Father, that his obedience, his sufferings were a sweet smelling savour before God. Then fourthly, acceptance by the Holy One. Acceptance by the Holy One. Verse 22: and Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering. and the burnt offering and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them. That hand that had been, no doubt, so covered in blood, he now pronounces the blessing of God upon the people. And that verbal declaration of the divine blessing, that benediction which declares the blessing of God upon those who draw near in his appointed way, was accompanied by visible appearance of the glory of the Lord and the fire consuming the sacrifice, indicating divine acceptance, divine reception of the sacrifice and of the people on account of it. Now, the Lord did not continually appear in this way at the offering of sacrifice. But he did at certain crucial points, as we've mentioned before, at the dedication of the temple. The glory of the Lord filled the house. It was a crucial point. There was a change taking place. Not in the fundamental form of the ceremonial worship, but the appointed place and the appointed building, the tabernacle, was being replaced by the temple. And so the glory of the Lord was visibly manifest. And again, when the true religion was under threat of near extinction in Elijah's day, and Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal at the command of God, and the Lord vindicated his servant and his truth, and the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. So at these crucial points, these momentous junctures, God actually visibly manifested his acceptance of the sacrifice of his people. And so here at the very beginning of the priesthood, as they actually enter into it, as all those instructions are now put into practice, we find that the Lord authenticates his own worship and here demonstrates his acceptance by his glory being manifest and the fire consuming the sacrifice. But acceptance of what? If the presence of the Lord's glory visibly and the consuming of the sacrifice indicates acceptance, approval, reception, acceptance of what? What exactly was it that the Lord was demonstrating in this way? Well, firstly, acceptance and approval of his own appointed pattern of worship. What they did was what God commanded by Moses. God told Moses, Moses instructed Aaron and the people, and they did it. Only what the Lord appoints in his worship has his approval. Everything had to be done according to the pattern given in the mount. But then secondly, there is acceptance of his people at the ceremonial holy place. The ceremonial form of worship was a figure of the truth. And so there was a figurative acceptance through the figurative sacrifices. And in Hebrews, the apostle says that these sacrifices served to the sanctifying of the flesh. There was a ceremonial purification. But that was not an end in itself. These sacrifices were to point to the ultimate, the reality. They were the figures of the true, not in the sense of true as opposed to false, but ultimate as opposed to mere figure and picture and type and shadow. And that means then, thirdly, that these things pointed to God's acceptance of all who draw near through his promised Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that were pointed to by the tabernacle and its worship and these sacrifices, if God gave a signification of his approval of the type, then it is meant to tell us that he actually does in heaven, his dwelling place, receive sinners who draw near through that to which the types pointed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this appearing of the glory of the Lord and this fire burning the sacrifice, though it filled the people with awe, yet it was a comfort, because it was God saying that those who draw near in his way, not just to the ceremonial place through the ceremonial ordinances, but to the heavenly holy place through the actual Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be accepted. And just as he had promised earlier, today the Lord will appear unto you. And again, the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you when they drew near in the appointed way. So God promises to sinners in the gospel, draw near through Christ and you will be accepted. And when they draw near through Christ, they are accepted. The glory of the Lord did appear, and the fire did come down. When we draw near to God in his appointed way, though it is not manifest by visible signs and tokens, yet God in heaven does accept us. He does receive us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's blessing is upon his people. Aaron had declared it. Now God demonstrates it by the glory and by the fire. So our Lord Jesus declared on the cross, it is finished. And the Father declared, it is indeed finished, by raising up the Son from the dead. And Romans 1, verse 1 to 4, the apostle says that Christ is declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And in Luke chapter 24, Christ blessed the people verbally. And then the reality of that blessing is demonstrated by his ascension to the Father's right hand. Luke 24 and verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So there Christ blessed them, he lifted up his hands, declared the blessing, and then the reality of that blessing was demonstrated in that he ascended up to the right hand of the Father, and the reality of the promises of mercy in him and of the blessing which he had pronounced, the source of it was demonstrated as the Redeemer of God's elect was exalted to God's right hand. So when we come God's way, We are accepted with God. When we come through Christ, we are accepted through Christ. But there is only one way. There is only one way. And the next chapter bears that out very strikingly when men try to invent their own way. And what was true of the ceremonial type is true of the reality. We must come God's way, or we will not come truly at all. Acts chapter 4, verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. If God would brook no invention in the manner of approach to his appointed earthly holy place, the figure of the truth, much less will he have any invented way of acceptance before him in his heavenly holy place. If the way to the earthly presence, the ceremonial presence, if the way of acceptance before God there was confined to God's way, how much more in the reality to which it pointed, acceptance with the God of heaven. But if we come God's way, we will be accepted. In Psalm 32, when David kept silence about his sins, his bones waxed old through his roaring all the day long. And yet the promise was there, the promise that the Lord receives those who draw near in the appointed way, just as God had promised in this ceremonial worship. The Lord will appear unto you, the glory of the Lord will appear. But when David kept silence, his bones waxed old through his roaring. The hand of God was heavy upon me, so that my moisture turned to the drought of summer. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. God does what he says. He said he would appear to them when they came in his appointed way, and he did. He tells sinners, come to me through Christ, and I will receive, I will forgive, I will cast your sins into the depths of the sea. And the Lord performs his word for all who flee to him in the appointed way of mercy and forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.